shepherd in the Old Testament times and Jesus' times, he walked out in front of the sheep and they followed him. They knew his voice. There's an image, and I heard this once, and it may have been the way it was. It certainly passed down through tradition that it was often a young lad in the village or whatever would be the shepherd because he couldn't do anything else. And they'd say, you take the sheep and look after them all day and bring them back in the evening. And there's a picture of this boy going through the village, calling the sheep as he goes past every house, calling the sheep out of each house, joining together in the herd. And at the end of the day, isn't it not a herd? A flock in the flock and taking them out onto the hills. And at the end of the day, bringing them back and letting them go back to their own homes. That's quite a nice picture, isn't it, I think? The sheep know the voice. And we, as Christians, need to understand when it is that God is speaking to us to make sure that we are hearing his voice and that we are led by him and not by anybody else. Jesus is accusing the Pharisees of teaching the people in an incorrect way and not caring for them. They were trying to insist that the people followed the law, and they did not understand what it was to be in a proper relationship with God. So Jesus says, the shepherd knows how to do this properly. And then in verses 7 to 10, Jesus calls himself the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. And this is quite an interesting picture too. The way into the relationship with God is through the gate, through Jesus. Elsewhere, we're told in Scripture that it's a narrow gate that you have to go through. And some people take that to be very pessimistic and think, actually, not many people go through the gate. But I'm very optimistic. I think there'll be millions and millions and billions of people who've gone through the gate. But you have to go through one at a time because it's narrow. It doesn't mean it can't be loads of people. I'm very optimistic about how God will bring people into the kingdom. But you have to make your own decision about it. That's what this narrow gate is about, I believe. Whoever enters through Jesus will be saved, and they'll go in and out and find pasture. There's freedom. There's liberation in the kingdom of God. We're not restrained. We're not restricted. There's freedom in him. And we will find pasture. And in verse 10, I just love this. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it in abundance. Have it for all eternity. And this life is an exuberant life. It's fulfilling. It's full of achievement and blessing. And this is the life that Jesus died in order to give. And he goes on to say that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He understands what it is to be that shepherd, not to be like the Old Testament in Ezekiel's time. Those priests who were only in it for themselves, only in it for some other purposes. Ulterior motives. Jesus is in it only for the good of the people, but the good of his sheep. In Wales, we have a lot of sheep. They can be stupid characters. But they do know how to roll over cattle grids. But I wondered why Jesus uses the image of sheep for us, for humankind. Maybe because we are stupid. Maybe it's because we are needing to be rounded up. He says elsewhere, doesn't he, when he looks down on Jerusalem, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They each going their own way, doing their own thing. But Jesus wants to round us up and bring us into the fold, to protect us, to care for us, to make sure that we are fed and safe. We have security and nourishment. But did you notice also that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Elsewhere he said, no one is good, only God is good. And even in making this statement, he is saying something again to the Pharisees about being the very nature of God, about being God incarnate. He is the Son of God, stood before them, and they will not recognize him. He is good and unbelievably, somehow, he lays down his life for the sheep. Graham was talking about it as we moved into communion. This Jesus, this Son of God, this incarnation of God, has laid down his life for you and for I. And so we are known by God, even as the Son is known by the Father. And there's going to be one flock and one sheep, one flock and one shepherd, and lots of sheep, and lots of other sheep. Did you notice that little bit? I have other sheep too that are not of this pen. And when we think in our small-mindedness that we are it, or the Baptists are it, or evangelicals are it, I think we are somehow missing the point that Jesus says, you know, I've got people out there that I'm going to bring in you know nothing about. Many places, when he talks about the banquet, he says, I'm going to bring people in, and the ones you expect to be in are not there, and the ones you didn't expect to be in are there. We need to have an open mind to the way that God will bring people into his flock. He has the authority to do all of this because he has it from the Father. He has authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. This Jesus, who we celebrate, who we worship, who is our salvation, he has the authority to do all of this because he is the very nature of God. He is God in himself. And all of this, he spoke to the people, and they were divided about it. You think, how can you not get it? They were divided about Jesus. And I sometimes think we believe that if Jesus came, you know, we'd all get it straight away, but I'm not sure we would. We need to be sensitive to one another. We need to understand one another. We need to recognize that when there is division, that there can be unity only through Jesus and by following him, the great shepherd of the sheep. Let's be quiet for a moment, and then we're going to respond with a couple of songs.